are listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we're coming to you live from Studio City, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice, resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. You should be on that right now if you're listening to us. That's a little clue, but just in case, it's latalkradio.com. You click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click the link. That'll take you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of past guests. And our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. So just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and it should take you directly to our shows. If you want to find out about future guests, then you want to visit the official Question Reality website, and that address is questionreality.us, not .com, questionreality.us. And you might as well get a little pen and paper, because as usual, we are going to tell you about a couple exciting things around town. And we do have a fantastic guest for you today. Her name is Ashley Hall, and she is a film and television production coordinator. And her website is LinkedIn.com. So if you go to LinkedIn.com and you type her name, Ashley Hall, you should be able to pull her up and view her portfolio. So let's talk about some exciting stuff. As you know, I really have been getting so much feedback, so many emails on Carrie David. I'm very happy about this because I was introduced to her via indieproducer.net, which is a great website if you are a producer or director trying to get your film out there. CarrieDavid.com. You want to write this down because CarrieDavid.com, she is a, it's a new film consulting and mentoring site. She's a multiple award-winning producer. She recently realized a lifetime dream of mentoring filmmakers on a one-to-one basis, and she just launched her new consulting website. So no matter where you are in the process of your film or your career, Carrie can offer you advice from her vast experience of working on budgets. She's worked on shows as low as $1,100 for the movie My Date with Drew, and as high as $35 million plus budgets with the Agent Cody Banks franchise. So whether you're considering filmmaking as an option or you're well into the filming process already, you want to have an expert like Carrie David at your fingertips. That's always a plus. So if you're having obstacles, no matter what you're having, challenges that you encounter, like fundraising, casting, production, to marketing and distribution, consulting an expert, it really, really, really can lighten the weight of production. And Carrie can guide you in your choices and all your decision making. Go to her website, which is really fantastic because she has a price list on there, which I thought was great. So if you need consulting, you can say, okay, there's the price for that. If you have a question, there's a price for that. So I love that. Check her website out, carriedavid.com. She also has other services that she offers and testimonials. She is the producer of Lucky Crow Films and the founder and CEO. So it will be worth your while for sure. Very professional woman. Now, until August 29th, just a couple weeks, the West Valley Playhouse is presenting Guys and Dolls, which is, of course, one of our, meaning America, our favorite musicals. So I'm sure everybody's familiar with Guys and Dolls, but just in case you aren't, it's a play, it's a 1950 musical that's drawn from two short stories by Damon Runyon. And you meet these lovable thugs and their, as they used to call them, malls or dolls, and some of the best music came out of this production, like Luck Be a Lady, Guys and Dolls, Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat. And this particular play is directed by John Barry, and the musical director is Patricia Hanifant. Very, 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 very wonderful play. I've had people come back and say it was excellent. So we are going to be going next weekend, I think. And again, it will be playing until August 29th, Fridays and Saturdays at 8 o'clock, Sunday at 2:30. The West Valley Playhouse is located at 7242 Owings Mouth, or is it Owens Mouth, Avenue, Canoga Park. And you can call for your tickets, 818-884-1907, 818-884-1907. Or you can visit their website, which is wvplayhouse.com, for westvalleyplayhouse.com. And on August the 14th, oh my goodness, it's already over. Never mind, I'm not even going to tell you about that Scriptwriters Network TV because it's gone. But November the 8th, film finance panel at the American Film Market. Everybody wants to know how to finance their film, right? Okay, so the American Film Market is having a panel that will answer all your questions, tell you how to get your projects financed. Go to the website, AmericanFilmMarket.com, and you can find out more details about that. So now we are going to get to our special guest. I'm so excited to have her on the show because we have so many emails from people who say, okay, well, you have Emmy Award-winning directors and you have Tony Award-winning actors. When are we going to have some behind-the-scenes people? And I thought, wow, you know, I really do want to have some more behind-the-scenes people on, but I just can't get them. They're so busy. They're usually working. Go from project to project to project. And Ashley Hall, I was very fortunate to get her on the show, and she's going to share with us what it's like to be a production coordinator, production manager for television and film. Now, Ashley Hall currently is working, I believe, and she can correct me if I'm wrong, is a production coordinator currently living in Los Angeles. She's originally from Richmond, Virginia, and she has both domestic and international film credits. Her previous projects include Sympathetic Details, which was directed by Benjamin Bush, and starring cast members of HBO's The Wire. We all know that show, including Ryan Sands, Clark Peters, John Doman, and Dominic Lomar. Mardozzi, that's a long name, and Kerosene Cowboys, directed by Mario Van Peebles. He used to be such a cutie. Well, he's still a cutie. And starring Cam, I believe it's pronounced Gigantit or Gigantit. I'm not sure. Sorry, I butchered that. Bill Pullman and Rachel Lee Cook. Now, in addition to her film projects, she has done production work for the Golf Channel and the John Wooden Pyramid of Success Awards. Ashley's a member of the Hollywood Radio and Television Society and is also a certified Reiki master. I sure hope that's right. Reiki. We're going to find out. And in her spare time, she enjoys writing and cooking and volunteering at local animal shelters. She is currently employed by NBC Universal. So without further ado, how did I do, Ashley Hall? Did I butcher a couple things or what?
You did very well. It is pronounced Reiki.
Yay!
And
okay.
It's Cam Zigande. That's how you say that name.
Say it again.
Zigande.
Okay. All right. I'll work on that one. I'll come back to that. Now, we have so many things to talk about. Being a production coordinator, production manager, that's what we want to focus on today. And, part of our discussion topics. Now, let's talk about this. Using your college degree in the entertainment business. I get this a lot. How important is it to get a college degree if you want to pursue a career as a, say, production coordinator, manager, and or eventually producer? That's my first question. And what should your major be and what elective classes should you take?
I think it's very important to have a college degree if you want to be a production coordinator, production manager, or a producer. One, because most producers do have a college degree, and two, there's a lot of math and a lot of elements that go into being a production coordinator or a producer that you really wouldn't get from anywhere else other than a college degree. So I think it's very important that you have one. In terms of your major, I think a film major is important to have, but also a business major could be equally as important.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've already said there's a lot of math involved. Now, that's like a total freak show for me. Math, science, no, it's not happening. But I can get around it. I can get around it. Now, when you say math, what exactly are they going to be using math for, and why is it so important?
Well, the thing with being a production coordinator is that it's different for every single shoot that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So you might go from one shoot and you might have to keep up with everybody's petty cash every day. You might go to another shoot and you might have to order expensive equipment and, you know, calculate that into the budget. Mm-hmm. So because of that, you kind of have to know a little bit about everything if you're going to pursue this job.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a software program? Is it Excel that you would use with that? Would you have to be familiar with that as well? Software applications?
Yeah, Excel is good. There are also several things that you can download. There's something called Movie Magic that is a scheduling software that is good for you to have. But just having that experience before you get on set and having that college degree and having those fundamentals, I think, is really important.
What if, say, you don't have a college degree in, say, you got it in literature, you got it in something else, and you came out here to seek your fortune, and, of course, you got to get started, and you usually get started as a PA if you want to work in the behind the scenes. What, say you don't have a degree in entertainment at all. How is that going to affect you?
Oh, I think that's fine. I mean, if you get a college degree, you're going to have to take a certain amount of general classes. You don't have to have a specific, you know, math degree to be able to do all these things, but I do think that having that background in literature, film, math, all of that's going to help you as a production coordinator, because you never know what somebody's going to ask you to get, and you always take what you've learned, you know, from whatever, and you use that for this job, and it's a different thing every single day.
Okay, so when you come, say you come here from Kansas and you wanna be a producer, but you say, oh my God, I don't know anything about, how do I get started? What do I do? And someone says, well, you know, you should be a PA because that's what you need to do. So, you say, oh well, what's a PA do? Tell us, what does a PA do, and how is that different from a production coordinator? And then tell us, what does the job entail of a production coordinator and a PA?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that, because I I think it's really important to discuss what a PA does and also what a production coordinator does. If somebody's coming from out here and they want to be a producer, I do think that PAing, production coordinating is a really good track for being a producer. A PA can do a lot of different things. If they're an office PA, it's usually keeping up with all the things that are going in and out of a production office on a daily basis. So that might be insurance forms, payroll, anything that the production would need, a PA would probably be taking it to people, be going to the bank, pretty much be a very important piece of getting the job done every single day. A production coordinator in the office, and the production coordinator is almost always in the office, is usually the PA's boss, and the production coordinator is overseeing everything that really the production manager doesn't have time to deal with on a regular basis. The production manager is more looking at big picture, you know, the whole budget of the film. The production coordinator is making sure that all the day-to-day things happen every single day so that the film can get made.
Wow. So it goes pretty much production assistant, production coordinator, production manager. Then is that the leap to producer?
I think so. I mean, there's certainly many different ways you can become a producer. Lots of writers are producers, actors are producers. There's lots of different ways that you can become a producer, but this is the way that I have chosen to go about it.
And so if you are in school and you're taking classes, you should probably be a film major. If you're in theater, you could still graduate with a degree in theater. And maybe if you say, well, I've changed routes, I'm going to be a theater major, but I want to take some elective classes. What elective classes could you take?
It depends on, obviously it depends on how big your school is and what they offer, but if I had to think of elective classes you would take, obviously any type of intro to film would be the first thing you would do, just so you know. I think it's very important that people know the history of filmmaking, even if that's not their particular area of interest. Even if you don't want to be a professor of filmmaking, you still kind of need to know how things started out, so when you're discussing something with people, you actually have that knowledge.
Absolutely.
I took a class I really liked called Film and Literature, which was basically turning books into movies, which is something that happens so often out here. That's something else that I would really recommend. Any type of class that you could take that has to do with camera work, just so you could have that background, lighting, and also editing. Making sure that you take an intro to editing class would be also a really important thing to do.
Absolutely. Now, being a young female in the entertainment business, and more importantly on the set, what is the general attitude from your coworkers in positions that are, say, lateral to yours as well as the upper echelon? Yeah, it's a two-part question. And do you feel that you need to adjust your personality from friendly to a more serious tone? So talk to us about that.
Well, I might answer your last question first. Yes, I do think a lot of times you have to be more serious when you're on set. A set is usually a very small and isolated place. So, you're living somewhere with people that you don't really know. It's best at first to have a very professional and, I think, serious way about doing things. And then if you get to know people and you can tell, what the vibe of the set is, then yes, maybe you can relax that a little bit. But at first, I would always err on the side of more seriousness. I don't feel like I've ever had to change my personality on a set, but I can tell you that a production coordinator, for better or for worse, sometimes have to give people news that they don't necessarily want to hear, because that's just their job, Oh, the paychecks aren't in yet. Oh, we couldn't get that piece of equipment. That's just part of the job. So not only do you have to have an air of seriousness, but you also have to have an air of, this is my decision, and, you know, that's it. I'm sorry. And that happens a lot, but that's the way the job is.
So should you, if you just start out, say you're a young female in the entertainment business, and do you feel that you should kind of be more friendly or serious first? Because if you start with the serious tone, do you think they might be a little more aggressive towards you? Because
no.
They're like, who the hell do you think you are?
No, when I mean serious, I don't mean rude. I feel like you can be serious and friendly at the same time. You can be polite. You can say, hi, how are you? How are you doing? You can talk to people, but then, you know, get down to business. That's how I feel is a good way to go about it when you're first starting out, especially as a PA, because as a PA, unless somebody makes it clear to you and the other crew members what your role is, nobody really knows. So it's like, you know, what do I ask this person to do? Are they allowed to get me coffee? Are they allowed to do this? Are they allowed to do that? Usually people will ask even if they know that that's not the role of that person. So I just think it's very important as a female on set to be very confident, be very professional, and be friendly, but, you know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
I think that kind of went right into my next question. I wanted to ask you about creating boundaries in a business with no boundaries. Now, you say that there are no boundaries. Do you really feel that there are absolutely no boundaries? And when you create them for yourself, what boundaries would you recommend that you, the basics that you establish for yourself to be viewed as, again, professional yet friendly and a team player? Like, what would you say? Like, don't, you know, make sure you're, of course, there on time, make sure you dress appropriately, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what would you add to that?
I think that, like you just said, it's very important to be a team player, very important to be on time. There are some boundaries, but a lot of the times in an independent setting, there are many more boundaries in a company. You know, if you're working for ABC or you're working for Fox, a company has set guidelines that they go by. You know, they've actually written a set of guidelines that they go by. Independent films don't really have that most of the time. So that's when you really need to set your own boundaries. So in terms of being a PA or a production coordinator, you have to kind of decide, how late am I willing to work every single night? You know, am I willing to work until 3 a.m? Because sometimes that happens. If you're not willing to work until 3 a.m, then when it gets to be, I don't know, around 2:00, then you might have to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to finish this up. And then when it gets to be 3 a.m, I'm going to go to sleep, even if other people are still working. That's what I mean when I mean boundaries. Being paid. Are you willing to work for free? And a lot of people do. Are you willing to work for $100 a day with no overtime? A lot of people do that too. It's all about what your boundaries are. I don't think there are any right and wrongs here. If you are willing to stay up all night, then that's fine. The person beside you might not be willing to stay up all night. So those are the boundaries that I'm talking about.
Yeah, a lot of people may not realize that this is not a 9-to-5 job. Why don't you tell us about the golden hours? Now, why don't you tell us about what the hours, being a production assistant, production coordinator, what these hours entail? Like, for example, of course, I know there are no such thing as a time limit, but they do have things that in the business they have, like when you go over a certain amount of hours, you get paid this, and then when you go over a certain amount, you get paid that, and then there's such thing as called golden time and stuff like that. So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, see, that's tricky, though, because all of that stuff only applies, really, to union shows. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for people to know the difference. If you're doing a union show, then there are very set rules. If you're doing a non-union show, then things are completely different. And you could have union people on a movie or TV show that have their own set of rules that have nothing to do with you. So I've worked on movies where I've worked from 7 in the morning to 5:30 in the morning to the next day. Mm-hmm. And there were no golden hours. There were no meal penalties. There was no overtime. That's what it was. And so that's something to be aware of. Now, when you are on a union movie or a union TV show, then there are much, much stricter guidelines. You have to have something called turnaround. In other words, if you work 2 hours over when you were supposed to end the night before, then you start 2 hours later the next day. That's something that happens on a union film. It's not something that necessarily happens on a non-union film.
Right. So when you come out here and you first start as a production assistant, most likely, and of course, Ashley, correct me if I'm wrong, most likely you'll start on non-union projects. So you just have to be aware that they can keep your ass working for days and work you like a dog. And as Ashley said, you really need to set your boundaries because they will work you like there is no tomorrow. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's why I brought up the boundaries thing, because you have to set those for yourself. Nobody on that shoot is probably going to look at you and go, you know what, you've been working, you know, it's been a hard day. Why don't you go to sleep?
Nope, that will not be happening. And you can expect to be followed around with what the hell's that thing they yell into when they have the cattle calls? What is that thing what is that called? A megaphone. Yes, it is very common that you will see people like Ashley or someone else who's a production assistant, production coordinator, who will on very large productions, they call them cattle calls. I don't know if that's still appropriate now, but that's what I've known them as. And they have megaphones, and they will get behind your ass, and they will have to yell. Now the actors, may not be loving the production assistants and production coordinators who have to do this because it's their job, and that some of them get very offended and they walk off the set. I've seen all kinds of stuff. I've seen them get in fights with production assistants, full out like fist fights in the mud. So tell us about that. I mean, how do you handle that? How do you maintain your temper and your temperament working on a huge production where you got 500, 600, 700 extras, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, tell us about that.
Well, I for one, have never gotten in a fight with an actor in the mud.
Well, you obviously didn't work on the Nestie with the Dixie Chicks about 10 years ago. So, yeah, I've seen that. Yes.
But it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. Even if people pretend like they don't know that it's your job, they know it's your job. So, in other words, if you have to tell somebody that they have to come in at 4 in the morning, they may not like it, but they know that that wasn't ultimately your decision. It was the director's decision. It was the first AD's decision. You know, when an actor comes in, is never your decision. It's just up to you to tell them. So when people get very angry, when they're aggressive, the best thing that I can say to myself is, you know what, this really doesn't have anything to do with me. Yes, they're yelling at me right now, but they know and I know that it really has nothing to do with me. Now, there's never any excuse for anybody to be physically aggressive to you or even verbally aggressive to you. So if somebody is being that way, then I've had to say to a lot of people, you know what, you're being loud, you're yelling, you're being rude, and I don't want to discuss this with you until you calm down, and I walk away. So there's no reason for you ever to be abused on the set, ever, whether you're the PA or the director.
Right, or the actor, for sure. Yeah. You just have to put up with a lot of different things, and you have to expect the unexpected because things happen like that. So as a production assistant coordinator, you may have to handle large groups of people, and you're dealing with a lot of different personalities. So I would say one of the things you have to be is patient. So we're going to talk about, we're going to ask Ashley a little bit later what characteristic traits she feels you have to have, but I would definitely say patience. Now let's talk about finding your niche in this gigantic world of entertainment. Now for the most part, people who come to LA or go to New York, they're usually seeking jobs in the entertainment business. So we've got like mainly the actors, singers, dancers, directors, producers, etc. Now, sometimes your hard work and luck pay off, if you believe in that, and you reach the level of success that you dreamed, or you can even surpass your dreams. But sometimes it just doesn't work out. Sorry, people, but yes, sometimes it doesn't work out if you come out here. So how do you go about finding another niche working in the entertainment business, in another aspect of the entertainment business? Because I stress so much, people come out here, you want to be an actor, you want to be a singer, you want to be a div, you want to be famous, you want to be, and that's fine. But if it doesn't work out for you, say 10, 15 years, think about alternative things. If you really want to work in the entertainment business, there are so many different jobs doing what, say, Ashley does, production coordinator, production assistant, working in accounting. There's so many different jobs, and you could still stay in the entertainment business. So let's talk about that a little bit. How do you find your niche if it's not going to be the Angelina Jolie role?
Well, the first thing that I would tell people before they even come out here is try to have a general idea of what it is that you want to do, because the worst thing I think anybody can come out here and say is you go to a function, you meet a producer, you meet somebody that could possibly give you a job, and they say, what do you want to do? Because that's what everybody always says. And the worst thing you could possibly do is go, I think maybe I might want to be an actor, or maybe, I like directing, or I like production. And by the time you're done talking, they've probably turned around. So have that important thing to say when you talk to somebody, when they ask you what you want to do, have that thing to say. However, in reference to what you just said, I feel like most people, when they're in the pursuit of that thing that they came out here to do to begin with, they find something else. So, in other words, I don't think that that's something that you really have to seek out. So if you came out here to be a director, and when you shake somebody's hand at a networking luncheon and they say, what do you want to do? And you say, I want to be a director in children's television. That's great. You know, that is a very succinct thing to say. However, you might become an editor in the pursuit of being a director and decide that you love editing. So it's in the pursuit of things out here that people, I think, really find that niche.
Absolutely.
But you have to have a clear-cut focus. But, you know, if you're interested in everything, that's fine, and a lot of people are. But you have to have that clear-cut focus in order to find that niche, you know, that you didn't even know was there.
Absolutely. And you start working in, and one of the things in this business is that you can come out here and think that you want to do one thing, and it's very possible you end up doing something else, because you only, if you haven't worked in the entertainment business, there's so many different things that you can do. So I would say, and Ashley, I don't know if you agree, but I would say work on as many different types of production, music videos, short films, anything that you can, theater, and find out, because there might be something that you never even dreamed that you'd be interested in doing. Am I right?
Absolutely. And but the other thing is that when you get a little bit farther along and you start to get this the same types of jobs over and over, in other words, something that I've seen happen out here a lot is somebody might have come out here to be an editor. And when they first get out here, one of their friends says, hey, we need an art department PA. And so they become an art department PA. And because they did it once, they keep getting offered those jobs again and again and again. And then it's 2 years later and they go, oh my, I don't like being in the art department. You know, why am I here? The reason why they stay in that particular area is because they keep getting jobs in it. So yes, try different things, but know what you like, but also know what you don't like. I wouldn't recommend that somebody really, you know, hates art department. I wouldn't recommend that that person take a job in that area because I don't think working in a field makes, if you don't like something, working in it is not going to make you like it more. In fact, the more you learn about it, the more you're probably going to not like it quite as much because it's a job. It's hard work. So right. Whatever it is that you start pursuing, make sure that you have a general general love for it or like, because otherwise it's really probably not going to work out in the long run.
Yes, and don't get caught up in a lot of things. A lot of times people start doing a job like they don't necessarily like, but it's a job, mm-hmm. and it pays the bills and it'll pay the rent and the car, so they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it because no other offers are coming in. That is something you can get stuck doing out here. Networking and self-promotion. Now, we all know the basics of how an actor, singer, dancer networks and promotes their careers with such things like headshots and resumes, etc. But how do you network and self-promote if you're trying to get a job as a production coordinator or a production assistant or any of the other behind-the-scenes positions?
I am a part of networking groups, which I think are invaluable out here. Whatever it is that is specific about you, whether it's your college, whether you're a female, anything like that, find a group that is like that in the entertainment industry because there are a ton of them. I'm in a female networking group for the entertainment industry. I'm in something called The Table, and both of those groups have really helped me in getting jobs around here. The other thing that I can highly, highly, highly recommend is go to talks or seminars. They're everywhere around here. They happen at the Writers Guild. They happen at the Paley Center. They happen at the Directors Guild, the Arclight. Almost every day of the week, there's somebody at one of those places doing a talk. And there's most likely somebody there that you will be able to meet and have some type of connection to, or at least, you know, give them your card. So that's really what I would recommend in terms of networking.
Oh, absolutely. So get out there and network, network, network. Now, let's talk about having self-respect as a production assistant, production coordinator, assistant, et cetera. Explain some of the less glorified things that you are sometimes asked or expected to do and how you maintain a positive attitude and an eager persona and to make people feel like, wow, she handled that really well and I want to hire her back because she didn't roll her eyes at me.
Mm-hmm. When I worked for the Golf Channel, most of the time I was dealing with garbage, like actual trash. That was a huge part of my job. Because that was a traveling set, there was just, I mean, that's what I had to do almost all the time. They didn't have a janitorial staff because it's not like it was a building. It was a mobile set. I was taking the trash out probably 8 to 9 times a day. That's what I did. And I was okay with that. I didn't consider that to be something that was demeaning to me because I was doing something to help the show move forward. So
that's how I think that's what I would recommend in terms of having self-respect. If you're doing something that helps the show move along, then you're doing something important, even if it's taking out the trash. So that's just something to remember as a PA or a production coordinator.
Right. Because a production coordinator, production assistant, you have to do everything, and you cannot come out here with this. You got to check your ego at the door. You cannot be thinking that you're Tom Cruise when you're working as a production assistant. You have to really be humble, and you really have to be accommodating, and you've got to have a positive attitude, which those are the characteristic traits, I think, but you're the expert here. Why don't you tell us what you think the characteristic traits are in order to be the very best production assistant, production coordinator?
I think that the traits that are the best for that are hardworking, extremely hardworking, being honest, being willing, and being ultimately good-natured, because you're going to be doing things on a regular basis that you never thought you would have done in a million years. And not anything that is really bad, but just, you know, something that you might not have even thought of, you know. Certainly when you are in film school, I mean, I'll tell you a little story. I worked on a movie that had a lot of really big actors, and we were shooting in this very, very remote park, and there was no way we could get a catering truck or anything like that to this park. It was just too far away. So I had to go and get charcoal, and I was the production coordinator, and roast meat on a spit in this park to feed the cast and crew. And it's just stuff like that. It's something you never would have thought you would have done in a million years, but it's something that you have to do. You have to make stuff work all the time, even when it doesn't seem like there's any way that it could ever work in a million years.
Yes. So you have to, there is not, you got to be a jack of all trades. The more
exactly.
you know, the better off you are.
Exactly.
Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. So now let's talk about, because we've got 5 minutes, I want to talk about getting a job with a high title when you first start out. Is that helpful or harmful? And how would one get a job with a high title just starting out? I mean, who would entrust you with that position, and what would that be?
Well, I actually, my very first job that I got in the entertainment industry was a production coordinator. It was not a PA. Sometimes it just happens. If somebody has met you, and even though you don't have the experience, they feel like you have the personality traits that would make you a good whatever production coordinator, then they might very well hire you to have a high position. It was difficult to have that high position at first. I wouldn't necessarily call it harmful, but it was difficult, because after that job, when I would want to get PA jobs, people would go, oh, well, you know, why would you want to go back to being a PA when you were a production coordinator? And I kind of had to go, well, you know, that was my first job, and I'm willing to be a PA because I want to get more experience. So it's it makes things more difficult, but you also get really good experience. You're just not going about it the way that people typically think you're going to go about it. And that, I think, is the hardest thing of all. Most people look at somebody's resume and it says, you know, PA, 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 production coordinator, production coordinator. Mine said production coordinator as my very first thing, and then PA, PA, PA. So it's just the fact that it doesn't match people's expectations that makes it more difficult.
Okay. So there is a hierarchy there for sure.
Yes.
Now, what about pay? Now, it's come to be, from what I hear, it's almost evolved into the expected route that you have to take starting out in the entertainment business, sort of like an apprenticeship. I've heard that actors are almost afraid to even ask, is there pay? And I've heard more recently that you no longer get a copy of your work. You at least used to get a copy credit and a meal. So as a production assistant wanting to work their way up, should, of course you should try to get jobs that pay, but is it expected that you're not going to get anything? And if you don't, can you have the flexibility to say, well, I'm not going to work as many hours? Or so what exactly is involved with that? What are the boundaries, borderlines, expectations with pay versus non-pay?
I think that's, like you said, I think that's another boundaries thing. I've met a few people that have decided that they were not willing to work for free ever. And that's fine, and a lot of people are. It's very, very, very common around here, or just in the whole country, probably in the whole world, in the entertainment business, for people to work for free. I would say that there is nothing wrong with working for free as long as you are treated well and as long as you feel like you're working on something that is worthy. I wouldn't recommend working for free just for the sake of working on a production, because there are a ton of productions that would take a good PA that's willing to work for free. So know your worth before you do that. I also wouldn't recommend doing it.
And at least try to work on ones where you're going to get a credit on IMDb, right?
Right, exactly. Also, in terms of what you just said about getting a copy, that's something that really has to be said outright before you even start. It's not something you should assume. So before you start and you're talking to the production manager, the producer, whoever hires you, you need to say, I'm willing to work for free, but in exchange, my payment will be a copy of the film. And I would even get it in writing.
Right.
Just
because
so it's upfront.
Nowadays, from what I hear, because I deal with a lot of directors and producers, and they say they don't want to offer that anymore because what happens is the actors upload the footage to YouTube or they put it on their actor demo reel before they've even got distribution. So that's not being offered anymore. Mm. Is that correct?
That does happen, but the thing is that if you're worried about that, then you have to pay people. There has to be an exchange of something. It's not, you know, it's not all give and no receive. So if you're worried about that, then you have to give somebody a small something in exchange for not giving them a copy of the movie.
That's right. Exactly. You better give them a damn banquet, a meal fit for a king at least, and good credit. Well, Ashley, can you believe it is 5:50? A whole 50 minutes has gone by. Didn't I tell you it was going to go fast?
It did.
It is, and I haven't even gotten to the last 7 questions that I had, so that means I'm going to have to beg you to come back next year.
I would love to.
Oh, and next time we get to come into the studio because I have to meet you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to the audience. Really appreciate it, Ashley. And I wish
you
so much success in your career. And hopefully next year when you come back, you can have some exciting news about more exciting projects.
Yes, I would love to come back next year.
Thank you, darling. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Ashley Hall, production coordinator. Check her out on LinkedIn.com. See you next week. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.